God Israel, Amrim Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. Our dramatic program today, Isaac M. Wise, written by Morton Wishengrad, is the fourth in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, presented in observance of the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series. The year is 1899. Sir Moses Ezekiel, the internationally celebrated sculptor, has come to a Cincinnati suburb to carve a likeness of a great rabbi, the stormy petrel of American Judaism. It is spring, and somewhere nearby a bird is singing. But for Isaac Mayer Wise, it is winter, the 80th year of his turbulent life.
This shouldn't take much longer, Rabbi Wise. You're not tired, are you?
Don't be so all-fired solicitous, young man. I'm not used to it.
Well, so I gathered. A bit more to the left, please. Hold it, please.
Young man, you're a nuisance.
Am I? Would you mind wearing your spectacles?
I certainly would. Besides, I lost them.
No, you didn't. They're in the same place, Rabbi Wise, on your forehead.
Well, that's where they belong. You sculpt me just as I am, young man. And don't you try to make me venerable. Nothing venerable about me.
You're rather pleased with yourself, aren't you?
If you can reach 80 and make as much trouble as I did, you'd be pleased yourself.
I dare say. Now, tell me if the pose tires you. You all right?
Of course I'm all right. You go right ahead and fiddle with the clay. I'm just thinking. Being old, like a state of suspended convalescence, just sitting, the satisfaction with small things, a little bird singing, the sun on your cheek, the feel of your own pulse. It's good, just sitting and being pleased with the smell of April, not worrying about December, that is good, and thinking. A little town in Bohemia, such a long time ago, 1845. 1845 in the Bohemian town of Ratnitz, and the Burgomeister said...
Sit down, Rabbi.
Thank you, Herr Burgomeister. I'll stand.
As you prefer. Your name is Isaac Mayer Wise, isn't it?
Yes, Herr Burgomeister.
I understand that last week one Joseph Dorfman and one Abigail Steinschneider came to you.
They did.
Did you marry them?
I did.
Without our permission?
I did.
Let me refresh your memory, Rabbi. No rabbi in Bohemia may perform marriages without our permission.
My apologies, Herr Burgomeister.
Sir, I object to your tone.
That makes us equal, Your Excellency. I object to your law.
Nevertheless, you will obey the law.
Some laws are a crime, Your Excellency.
Their execution is a felony. Be careful, Rabbi. I didn't make the law, but I carry it out. Impress that little fact on your mind. The Jewish population is going to remain stationary, do you hear? No one marries until there is a vacancy, and a vacancy occurs when someone dies and I certify that a vacancy exists.
Is that all, Herr Burgomeister?
Yes, that's all for now. We've got our eye on you, Rabbi, for a lot of things. No more marriage services, my friend.
That's a warning. Place the ring on her forefinger. No, the right hand. Yes. Say after me, behold.
Behold.
Thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
Thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel.
Oh, don't be alarmed. Apparently, we're to have uninvited guests. There is a door in the back.
Are we married, Rabbi?
Yes, the ceremony is over. Now, don't hurry as you leave. Don't be afraid. They are the criminals, not we. Now, go and God bless you. Come in, Herr Burgermeister.
Where are they? Rabbi, I said, where are they?
You're too late, Herr Burgermeister.
That's a pity.
Yes, a pity that it's true, and very true that it's a pity.
Hmm? Now, tell me their names.
No, Your Excellency.
You refuse?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to arrest you. Oh, no, Rabbi, not for this. When I get you, it's going to be for something good.
I appreciate the compliment.
Not at all, Rabbi, not at all. Oh, wait a minute. I've forgotten something. Yes, tomorrow is the Emperor Ferdinand's birthday. You will preach the customary sermon of congratulation?
Yes. Yes, of course, Your Excellency. Why not come yourself?
Rabbi, a very good idea.
Good. Then I shall take special pains with the sermon.
No doubt, Rabbi. No doubt.
My text is Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty, every man to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim for you a liberty, saith the Lord, unto the sword, unto the pestilence, and unto the famine. And I will make you a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth.
Members of the congregation, the gown is getting threadbare. The gilding wears off from the wooden idol. The priests desert the altar.
Add shame to blasphemy, add folly to falsehood, contradict humanity and praise the Emperor Ferdinand on his birthday. Europe is an aching sore, a bleeding wound, a blasting stigma. The nations are a flock of sheep, a herd of cattle belonging to the tyrant. Let us pray for our noble and virtuous Emperor Ferdinand.
Put a man in a chair, set a cap on his head, place a scepter in his hand, worship him, slaughter one another at his command.
Eloquent sermon, Rabbi.
Glad you like it, Your Excellency. I'm not quite finished.
Oh, I think that will do, don't you?
Perhaps you're right.
Let's not keep the governor waiting.
The governor?
Yes, of course, Rabbi. He's most anxious to speak with you.
Oh, I see, Herr Burgermeister. By all means, we mustn't keep the governor waiting.
Just what I think. All right, Rabbi, let's go.
You admit these charges?
I do, Governor.
Also that you have performed marriages against our expressed injunction?
I have.
And that you have been heard to say that republicanism is preferable to monarchy?
I have said so.
Why?
I happen to believe it.
Is that in your religion?
That's the way I interpret my religion.
Oh, so you're also an interpreter. I'm accustomed to having my questions answered.
Why not come to the point, Governor?
My dear Rabbi, I generally conduct my interviews in my own fashion. So you don't like monarchies, eh?
Men who take care of themselves are free. When they let others take care of them and make their laws for them, they are slaves.
Why not save that for your pulpit?
Because I've got more than a pulpit conscience.
My dear man, I suggest a change of atmosphere for you. The climate of Bohemia may become rather, shall we say, suffocating.
Oh? If Your Excellency has no objection, my family and I will emigrate to America.
Do that, my dear rabbi. Do it quickly. Yes, in your case, the quicker the better.
The timeless pattern, pilgrimage to freedom. The ocean luminous with the wet footprints of exiles who had gone before. Winds steering westward to the American earth, where no man gnaws the dead bones of past centuries. A place for new beginnings, where men can write their names upon the stars and not upon tombstones. A place to learn new words and a new language, and to stand in a free pulpit and open an American constitution and see in every line the law of Moses, the code of Israel. So many years ago, my first American pulpit, the call to the Albany congregation.
Rabbi Wise, before we decide to engage you, we'd like you to make something clear.
I wanted to make a lot of things clear.
I'll come to it, Schmidt.
If you don't, I will.
Don't you trust me, Schmidt?
Go ahead, go ahead. Don't talk so much.
Now, as I was saying, Rabbi Wise, we want you to clear up something.
What is it?
We hear you believe in some kind of reform.
That is what we heard.
I do.
Oh, is that so? What kind of reform, Rabbi?
I'll try to state it simply. Only that portion of Judaism which will and must become the common good of all men is religion to me.
Is that so? Well, go on. We're listening.
You want to speak?
No. Just tell us what you believe.
All right, Mr. Schmidt. I believe that Judaism does not insist on dogmas.
Oh? What makes a religious do?
His deeds, not his creed.
Schmidt, what do you think? I'm still listening.
Well, that's not only my doctrine, Mr. Schmidt. You'll find it in the Talmud.
I'm still listening.
There's a section in the Talmud where God is imagined to exclaim, I would rather they had forgotten me and had observed my law.
Schmidt, what can we lose? He quotes Talmud.
Yes, that's a fact, yes. Well, Rabbi Wise, you've got a congregation. Rabbi Wise, this is too much.
Schmidt, take it easy.
I will not take it easy. Rabbi Wise, I want to know if this is true.
And so do I.
Is what true?
My wife tells me that you are preparing my daughter,
a girl, for confirmation.
Yes, I am, Mr. Schmidt. She's a bright girl, and she's going to be confirmed on Pentecost.
In our synagogue?
Yes. Do you see anything wrong?
Anything wrong? It's not done. It never has been done. Bar mitzvahs are for boys, not for girls.
It's absolutely unheard of.
Is it?
Absolutely. Rabbi Wise,
you're not going to disgrace this synagogue with these crazy innovations.
Tell me, when Moses brought the women of Israel to Mount Sinai, were you disgraced?
You cannot justify this thing.
I think America justifies it. Women are not second-class citizens. Go back and read your Bible.
Chochmas nashim, bonsor besor.
It is the wisdom of the woman that builds the home.
Schmidt, what do you say? I don't know.
I believe in a living Judaism. Legalism isn't religion. Mysticism isn't religion.
No.
Religion, Judaism, for me, it's the fear of the Lord and the love of man. I've tried to introduce reform in other places. I've been mocked and scorned and reviled, but I have faith in America. Someday the mockers and the scorners and revilers will admit they're wrong. They will accept the confirmation of girls. It's a small thing, perhaps, part of a much greater idea, but they will come to it.
All right. It can't hurt.
Good. Let us enter the palace of the Lord and not waste our time scratching our names on the bricks outside.
Schmidt, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Life used to be so peaceful before he came.
Perhaps the desire to reform the world is a sickness. It's hard to say. Some men do no more than they must. Traditions can be accepted, but they must also be made. It was a hard lesson to learn, a harder lesson to teach. Then the time came to teach it elsewhere. A call from Congregation Bene Gesserit in Cincinnati. A call from the American West, the place of new beginnings.
Rabbi Wise, that's a fine little magazine you publish.
Thank you, Blackman.
You can do a powerful lot of good with it. Don't spoil it.
Mr. Blackman, if you want to tell me something, why not tell me?
All right. This editorial. Did you write it?
You know I did.
This country has disavowed every connection with any church. Nothing is more disgusting than the combination of religion and politics.
Come to the point, Mr. Blackman. I wrote that. What's objectionable about it?
Why did you write it?
You know why. It's an attack against the Know-Nothing Party.
That's what I thought. Rabbi, take some advice. Leave the Know-Nothing Party strictly alone.
I can't, Mr. Blackman.
Why can't you?
Because they're attacking Catholics and Negroes.
You're a Jew. It's no skin off your back.
Mr. Blackman, I'm an American.
Rabbi, you're being mighty tactless.
I've got a good theological word for tact.
You're making a
mistake, Rabbi. Keep out of this. It won't do your people any good.
Mr. Blackman, for 18 centuries, Israel was at fault for too great love of God. And perhaps the enemies of Israel were at fault for too little love of their neighbor. But this is America. The foundations are different here. They must be defended.
It's not your job to defend
them. What kind of an American do you think I am? Do you see a Chinese wall around the Constitution? When the Constitution is attacked, I retaliate.
What are you going to do?
I'm calling a special meeting of the congregation. I'm asking every Christian and Jew in Cincinnati to come. You might also, Mr. Blackman, might do you some good.
The old sickness, bigotry, and sectarianism, and this time in America. It hurts in other places, but in America so much more. For this is the beacon light of nations. And yet every generation must fight its own evil and build against it. And every man must build in his own way.
Oh, Rabbi, can I drive you somewhere?
Why, thank you, Father Riley. I'm going to the station.
Get in. It's only a bit out of my way. That was a good talk the other day, Rabbi Wise.
Thank you, Father Riley.
Let's make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
You convert Jews to Judaism, and I'll see if I can convert Christians to Christianity.
Well, I'm going to keep my part of the bargain. That's why I'm going to the station. Father Riley, I may be wrong, but I think there's room for a Hebrew college in this city. You can't build synagogues without rabbis. I think it's time to start training rabbis.
Well, good luck to you. You can tell them Father Riley's on your side.
Thank you.
If you gentlemen have no objection, I'll turn the meeting over to Rabbi Wise. The floor is yours, Rabbi.
You gentlemen look rather pained.
We're wondering how much you expect from us.
You think I like doing this?
From what we've heard, you do it mighty well, whether you like it or not.
I hate it. I live on a railroad. I go from city to city. I beg. I come here. Why? I'm getting old and weary, almost tired of life. Yet I must come here and speak. A man can't rebel against his conscience any more than he can rebel against God. You and I cannot separate ourselves from our people. We cannot be faithless to our religion. I'm here to plead for a holy cause. I'm asking you to help me build a college for the training of rabbis. I think a portion of the history of America depends on your answer.
It isn't much, Rabbi Wise, but it's all we can afford.
Thank you, Jonas. That's enough for 6 classrooms.
Will you accept this, Rabbi Wise?
With all my heart. You've just given us half of a library.
I'd like to enroll as a rabbinical student.
Glad to have you.
Nervous, Rabbi?
What for? The first commencement of the Hebrew Union College? I've never been happier in my life. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Let no good man despair of human nature and human destiny. For the Lord is at your right hand, and you cannot fail. His promises are your banner of light. The time must come when all the fortresses and the castles and the bastions will lie in ruins. And a newer generation will say, our forefathers needed these damnable structures, but we do not. The time is fast approaching when men will recognize in man his fellow creature, the image of his God, the object of his love, the brother of his heart. God bless this country. Let it be a beacon light of nations. Let all free men raise their temples to the Most High and praise his glorious name forever and ever.
Rabbi. Rabbi, you can rest now.
What's that?
I said you can rest. Remember me, I'm the sculptor.
Oh, yes, Sir Moses.
Have you been thinking?
Yes, remembering.
Why don't you go in now, Rabbi Wise? Go in and lie down.
No, you go in, young man. I'll sit here. When a man's 80, sitting is good enough. Time enough later to sleep.
Don't stay too long.
As long as I'm allowed, young man.
I'll bring you a blanket.
No, young man, don't bother. I'm warm enough. Spring. There's a good smell from the ground. The birds are back. Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm warm enough.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Albert J. May, Honorary President of the National Federation of Temple Sisterhoods and daughter of Isaac Mayer Wise. Mrs. May.
The episodes in the life of my distinguished father have just been well told, and I join heartily in the applause for this dramatic production. Morton Wishengrad, our author, is gone to his eternal reward, but his works will be long remembered. I hope you will not think me an aging sentimentalist if my memories, reverent and beautiful, are different from the written records of the life of Isaac M. Wise. Somehow his 12 children knew him best as an affectionate and human father. His love of democracy molded his entire thinking. He had a passion for getting to know people from all walks of life and welcomed their opinions. The Wise family home had an open door of joyous hospitality, cherished by many visitors who flocked to our home. My memories of our childhood seem to me to be full of charm and depth. Life in our family was a daily adventure in which the children participated. Religion with its rituals spread a warm glow over our home where hypocrisy was despised. And there was always a place for laughter, even for the revolt of youth. I wish honestly that today's family would have some of the old-fashioned attributes of the less pretentious home. In his work, Isaac M. Wise especially valued and respected the contribution of women, and he made a place for them in the synagogue. He was often a stormy petrel, but more frequently he was the understanding pastor. The leaders of his community stood by him, as did the many throughout the country, and cooperated with him in laying the cornerstones of Reform Judaism. These were the factors which helped this untiring, completely dedicated man to build the institutions which spread the life of Judaism and carry high the banner inscribed with his favorite motto, Yehi Or, let there be light.
Thank you, Mrs. May. Our Eternal Light drama today, Isaac M. Wise, was written by Morton Wishengrad. Today's program was the fourth in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, marking the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. Featured in the cast was Roger DeCoven as Rabbi Wise, a cast which included Norman Rose, Ralph Bell, House Jameson, John McGovern, Gilbert Mack, Daniel Acco, Joseph Bell, and Hal Studer. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light presents The Rabbi with the Ink-Stained Hands, a drama by Mark Siegel. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication.
This is the NBC Radio Network.